Have your Bibles this morning if you'll find your way to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. As we are entering into what is commonly called Advent season, where we are approaching as the day that we celebrate Christmas, even though we know that December 25th was not the day that Christ was actually born. It's just a day that is observed. And not to give a long history, but that all goes back to when the calendar was redone, and there's a lot of things within that, and we may do a study on that at some point. But nonetheless, it is Advent. Today starts the season, if you will, of Advent that leads up to Christmas Day, and then ultimately after that it leads up into Easter. And so it's amazing how we're already here, right? Already thinking about Christmas. But nonetheless, Advent comes from the Latin word meaning to come to. And so Advent is not just the tinsels and lights and trees and decorations, but it begins in silence, in the darkness, and at a time of expectation. So before the church as a whole starts to sing songs of Bethlehem, we listen. We listen for those footsteps of the Son of Man when He is coming. Advent teaches us to look backward to His first coming and forward to His second coming when He comes again. Jesus' opening words in the scriptures we're going to look at here in Matthew's gospel, it kind of sets the tone here. And it he says, of that day and hour, no man knows. Advent is not about guessing. It's about being ready. So I want to think on that thought this morning of staying awake. Stay awake. Advent begins with urgency. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse number 36. He says, "But about the day and hour no man knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as in the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for the first coming. Lord, where you came and lived among sinful men, a sinless life. Lord, how that you died and was buried and rose again, and how you give us new life. Lord, we also pray that we would be ready for, just as the people of Bethlehem were prepared for your first coming, Lord, help us to live our lives in such a way that we are prepared for your second coming. Lord, I pray that as we look at this word this morning, God, you would hide me behind that cross of Calvary. Lord, that we would not see me, but we would see you. Lord, convict a heart that may be lost. Convict that one that may be backslidden. Lord, that they be saved, that they would be repentant. And Lord, that you would have your will and your way in each of our lives. Lord, it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is an interesting, I know it's not your typical, perhaps, Christmas-themed sermon text this morning, but I think it's important for us to look at as we approach a time where we celebrate the birth of Christ, that we also must be mindful that just as Bethlehem and in the ancient times, people were awaiting the Messiah, right? We find the prophecies of the Old Testament where they were looking for that long-awaited king to come and that Messiah to come, the Savior of the world to come. And so they were expectantly waiting for his arrival. Well, so it is in modern times, how we long for the coming of Jesus again. And so Jesus is giving here in chapter 24 is a very prophetic chapter. He talks about how the temple is going to be destroyed, and he gives the signs of the ends of the age, and he talks about all of these various things. And then in about verse 29, he talks about, or starts to talk about, this coming of the Son of Man. And we see here in verse 36 where it says to you don't know the time, you don't know the day when this will happen. But interestingly enough, he says, even though you don't know the time nor the day, what does he say do? Be ready, right? To be ready. And notice in verse 37 and verse 38 and verse 39, he talks about the days of Noah. Goes all the way back to Noah, and he gives this idea of a warning against spiritual drowsiness. Now, sometimes I have to take melatonin to help me sleep, right? In order to have surgery, you have to be, as they say, put under, right? They give you good sleeping medicine, right? Some of the best sleep you ever had is right before an operation. That causes you to be drowsy, right? It causes you to be numb to whatever is happening. And so Christ is saying here that the days of Noah is a warning against the spiritual drowsiness. And notice here that life is usual for these people, but it can lull the soul to sleep. Notice it says they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Nothing sinful necessarily. Just living life as ordinary, right? Just ordinary living here. But dear friend, we have to be careful that ordinary life can make us spiritually numb. An ordinary life can make us spiritually numb if we are not very careful with how we do. Noah's generation ignored the warnings, right? Lived in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a drought. And this old man is out there saying, hey, there's a flood coming. Can you imagine the people in that community? They was thinking, man, that guy in modern terminology, I learned a lot working with kids at school, right? You learn a lot of new, as they call it, lingo. And, that man is off the rocker. You know, that man has done lost it. And that's what they was thinking of Noah. This crazy old man has done off the rocker. We're talking about a flood, right? They ignored the warnings. But it's interesting to note that just as in the days of Noah, when Noah and his family went into the boat, right? You remember where it said that God shut the door, right? It wasn't man, God sealed the door. That means that door wasn't being opened again, right? Until God opened the door. But nonetheless, when that door was closed, judgment began. This judgment did not come suddenly, right? There was warnings. There was a prophet that said, hey, the flood is coming. Rain is coming. Come with me. Repent. Come into the boat, right? No one would go. It was a gradual ignoring of the warnings. Dear friend, Advent calls us to be awakened before we drift into this same complacency that you know, I've still got time, right? There's things prophetically that hasn't lined up yet, so he can't come yet, right? How many times have we heard that? Jesus can't come yet because this hasn't happened yet. Dear friend, Jesus can come at any time. Whenever God says, go get my children, dear friend, that's when it's going to happen. And so we must not get so complacent in our lives and so comfortable in our lives that we overlook all the other things and we become too comfortable, just as in the day of Noah. This is the cry of the church, and it echoes what Paul said as he wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, that we must wake up, sleeper. Wake up. We cannot meet Christ with sleepy hearts. The Advent is a season of these holy alarm clocks. How many times do we hit snooze in the morning, right? I hit it several times, sometimes. We cannot allow ourselves to fall just as the people of Noah's day did. But notice, secondly, not only does he go about talking about the days of Noah, how that's a warning against this spiritual drowsiness, but in verses 40 and verse 41, we talk about a great separation. A great separation. There is judgment and discernment. And notice the two examples that he gives here. Two men in the field, right? Two women grinding grain or making meal. Outwardly, it's the same work on the outside. But inward, it was very different realities. The two men were doing the same thing. The two women were doing the same thing. But on the inside, something was different. And the coming of Christ reveals the hidden truth of the heart. Notice it says that one was taken and the other one was left. Advent reminds us that faith is personal. It's personal. It's not about the proximity to the holy things in life. It's not about being close to church or even necessarily attending church or treading the baptismal waters and taking communion and doing various other things with the church. It's not about being in proximity to those things, but it's being in possession of a holy heart. A heart that is not belonging to God. It really doesn't matter how many things you do for the church. It's not about being religious busyness in our lives where we're doing all of these things, but it's about being spiritually ready. Spiritually ready. I watched a movie on, I think it was Netflix. It may have been Amazon Prime. I can't remember. But nonetheless, it's a movie. It was called Mary. And it was about her life as a child and then becoming the mother of Jesus. And it was a very fascinating movie. And it's interesting, too, as you watch that movie and you see the portrayals of how people reacted to the news that Jesus was coming, not knowing that it was necessarily through Mary. But as they were going from hotel to hotel, if you will, and the door constantly being slammed in their face, well, the people wasn't ready. They weren't ready. Are we ready for Jesus' return. The truth is that some are ready and there are some who are not. And this time it forces us to take that spiritual inventory. Are we watching? Are we repenting? Are we expecting Christ's return? Notice in verses 42 through 44, he simply says to keep awake, to keep awake. Now, this is the heart of Advent, to stay awake. He says, watch therefore. Watchfulness is not fear, but it's faith. It's faith with its eyes wide open. It's a spiritual attentiveness and alertness and that longing for Christ's return. Jesus talks about a thief there in verse 43. Almost as if he compares himself to this thief. And not because he's deceptive, but because his arrival is going to be so sudden. It's a wake-up call that holiness cannot be postponed, right? That it's here and now. I think I read where some time ago where an average burglary of a house or place of business, the thief is in and out within like 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes. That's quick, right? Can take everything you've got in less than 5 minutes. And this is what Jesus is saying. It's so sudden when it happens. There's no time to think, right? I can't tell you over the years how many I've heard say, well, I'll do that when I see it happening. No. No, you won't. Because it's going to happen so quickly. You'll not have that time. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Advent is about preparation. It's about repentance. It's about confessing. It's about anticipation. And the Christian life has its eye on eternity. So practices for a ready heart. Thought about a few things. You know, repentance is one. Kind of a clean the room before the guest arrives, right? We know someone is coming. What's the first thing we do? We start straightening up things, right? Cleaning up. Prayer. Keep the lamp of our heart and soul burning. Acts of mercy, the fruit of a life ready for Christ. Faithfulness to His church. Staying near the means of grace. And hope. Well, living in that joyful expectation of Christ's return. The Lord who comes. The Advent is a church standing at the doorway of eternity. And the one who came in humility, right, being born in a manger, a stall, in a barn. But this next time He will come in glory. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The first Advent makes us long for the second. And the second Advent makes us grateful for the first. There's a song by Bill Gaither. Talks about the troubles of our world. Talks about the pains and sicknesses, illness, depressions, and all these other infirmities. And in the midst of all of those things that this song mentions, and you'll know the song when I mention it, there's a phrase, and I believe it's even the title of the song. There's a phrase in the song that says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the midst of our religiousness and our busyness and our things that will be happening over the next several weeks, as families will be coming in and families will be traveling and all these things, in the midst of our troubles and our trials and our sicknesses and our illnesses, could we have that same prayer? You know, as happy of a time as Christmas, Advent should be, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even as good as life may be here, even so, Lord Jesus, come. I couldn't think of anything better than being able to be with the Lord forever, for all eternity. Is your heart ready today? If Christ were to come back today, would we really be ready? Or would we be like maybe the innkeeper, maybe a relative that we have, and we say, hold on, Lord, let me wipe the dust off of the chambers in my heart. Let me clean up a little bit before you come. Or will we be able to greet them at the door and say, my Lord, welcome? Which would it be? I'm going to extend a hymn of invitation this morning. It's your opportunity to do business with God. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's a time that you have some things in your life that you need to repent of. Or maybe you just need to simply say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for being in my life, for my heart. I thank you for the family that you've given me. Lord, how we await your second coming. Whatever it is, will you do so as we sing?